Chapter 13, The Sports Connection, Earthing in Action. Biophysicist James Oshman tells the story of a friend who ran in a marathon. Part of the way through the race, he developed a very painful blister on his foot. Recalling the great barefoot runners from Africa who have dominated the marathon racing scene for years, he yanked off his shoes and pushed on without them. Not only was he able to finish the race without pain, he was also very surprised at the end to find that his blister was completely gone. If that seems hard to believe, consider the most dramatic application of earthing, the experience of recent victorious US-sponsored teams in cycling's premier event, the Tour de France. The success of grounding in one of the most challenging racing competitions in the world is extraordinary. The grounding cycling story starts in 2003, when Jeff Spencer, DC, a prominent sports medicine specialist based in Pasadena, California, contacted Clint Ober. He had heard about earthing from a San Diego doctor and was intrigued by the concept. Dr. Spencer, a former Olympic cyclist, works with elite athletes functioning at the highest level of performance and applies cutting-edge methods to support optimum health and enhance recovery from exertion and injury. This was his assignment during the 5 Tour de France competitions. During 4 of them, 2003 to 2005, and again in 2007, he utilized earthing. Earthing at the Tour de France. I've had the good fortune of working with many athletes at the highest level in terms of getting them to the top of their game and keeping them there. You can't imagine what a challenge that is when the sports event is the Tour de France. My number one job was to make sure that the riders showed up every day at the starting line, 100% mentally and physically ready for the rides of their lives. On the other side of that was to make sure that we had very aggressive recovery strategies so that they could survive this inhumane event called the Tour de France. In doing so, I had to develop as compressed a timeline for injury and full body recovery as possible. The challenge gave me tremendous flexibility in putting together a toolkit that would give us a competitive advantage. In the tours that I worked, we lost only 4 riders, one to a broken arm, one to severe tendinitis, another to a broken arm, and the other to a broken hand. Otherwise, all the other riders finished, which is really unheard of in this sport. When I first heard about earthing, it sounded very interesting to me. I'd never heard of it before, but it sounded like something that might be useful for what I do. I contacted the developer of the technology, Clint Ober, and asked to meet with him. When we talked, it became clear to me that if earthing did what he said it was supposed to do, it could give the tour cyclist a tremendous advantage. Earthing wouldn't change anything I normally did, and all somebody had to do is lay down and go to sleep. This would help them sleep and relax, so I was told. This was very appealing. I knew that when I would spend time outdoors with my feet in the sand, or I'd walk at the beach with my feet close to the water, I would feel a lot better. But I first had to try the technology on myself. I was not willing to use anything for my patients that I didn't know worked from my own first-hand experience. For about 5 years, I had been suffering with the consequences of mercury poisoning. At one point, my health was quite debilitated. I had been receiving treatment for it and was improving gradually. I was getting better, but after grounding myself one night, I felt a significant improvement. When I awoke the next morning, I felt much better. I had more energy. I had had difficulty concentrating before, but now I had greater clarity of thinking. I had less pain, less irritability. My body felt like it had been washed from inside out. After 3 or 4 nights of sleeping better and feeling better, I knew that this was something for real. I recognized that this is something that could have tremendous value, not just for me, but also for my patients and the cyclists at the Tour de France. I was, to say the least, impressed. I asked Clint if he could create a prototype system for me to take and use at the Tour de France. The challenge is that the Tour is so difficult mentally and physically that the riders have a hard time sleeping. And if you don't sleep, you don't recover. If you don't recover, the body breaks down, The mind goes down, and you can unnecessarily get injured or sick, which is catastrophic for a top tour effort. Clint agreed and came up with a prototype system. It had a metallic snap at one end that connected to a wire that ran to an outside ground rod. Clint handmade all the wiring and taught me how to use the system. It was ready just in time for the 2003 Tour de France, and it made a huge difference. The severe mental and physical strain from daily competition needs to be discharged from the body while the rider is relaxing and recovering. So we need technology available at night in order that the rider gets up the next morning fully recovered. I saw the same experiences among the riders that I had experienced myself. They slept much better, and that's a big deal in a competition like this, where cyclists have a very hard time sleeping because they are so overstimulated from the tour's intensity and, ironically, often overtired. When they can't rest and sleep enough, they can break down. When trying to sustain high performance at this level, team physicians always wonder how they can improve sleep and take advantage of the sleep downtime. So earthing was like an answer to my prayers. The riders reported less mental tension and stress. They felt calmer. Their decision-making was good. Their vitality and morale were really high. We also applied earthing, along with other treatments, to accelerate tissue repair and wound healing from injuries sustained during the competition. The results were phenomenal. The cyclist recovered much faster. The most dramatic case involved a cyclist in the 2005 Tour who suffered severe lacerations to his upper right arm after crashing through the rear window of a support car that had stopped abruptly. He managed to make it to the finish line. He immediately received aggressive medical treatment and was taken to a local hospital for stitches. When I saw him on the team bus right after that day's tour stage, he had shock written all over his face. His jersey and riding shorts were bloody. His arm had been tightly bandaged to stop the bleeding. When the bandages were removed, you could actually see the tendons and bone through the torn flesh. It looked like somebody had chopped up his arm with a carving knife. Later at the hotel, we saw extensive stitches in his upper arm, as well as his elbow, hand, and chin. He had a large purple bruise on his leg, as if someone had hit him with a lead pipe. The team had serious reservations about whether he could continue in the tour because of the extent of his injuries. Everybody doubted that he would be able to return to the competition the next day. I asked for 12 hours, basically overnight, to try to help him heal enough to continue racing. I knew that earthing could make a big difference. Everybody agreed it was worth a shot, as long as he wasn't in danger of hurting himself further. So I applied multiple grounded electrodes to his arm and leg, and he slept grounded that night, as he had throughout the competition. When he awoke the next day, there wasn't nearly the pain, redness, soreness, or swelling he had the night before. He didn't seem nearly as bad off as would normally be expected. He felt up to going out that day and racing. Our high hopes were that he could continue, finish the day's ride, and get stronger and heal more each subsequent day. It turned out that he was indeed able to put in a full day's ride and perform his role for the team. The other cyclists were overjoyed. He ultimately finished the competition and contributed to the team victory. To an outsider, his recovery was nothing less than miraculous. In my experience with earthing, this kind of response is not surprising anymore. In many instances, I have seen an absence of what we regard as a normal inflammatory response. When individuals are grounded, injuries lack much, and I mean much, of the typical degree of pain and redness. Tissue repair is accelerated. At the end of the 2005 tour, the team director asked me about the condition of the riders. "They're doing great," I said. "What about tendonitis?" he asked. Cyclists have a high incidence of tendon inflammation in their legs because of the prolonged and intense strain they put themselves through. "It wasn't a problem," I said. "Anybody sick?" he asked. "No, everybody's good," I answered. He shrugged and said, "Incredible." Acute traumatic injury is common in the world of athletes, so earthing is a great boon. Grounding helps minimize injury downtime and speed recovery. I know how long it takes to recover normally, and I also know what happens when an athlete is grounded. The changes in terms of body recovery from day to day, the ability to repair tissue, to recover from activity and the stresses and strains of the day are amazing. To me, it's obvious that any athlete should make earthing part of his or her regular wellness program. Earthing also appears to accelerate recovery from surgery, which, as far as the body is concerned, is basically a form of traumatic injury. One of my patients is a champion in supercross, a wild and woolly sport where off-road motorcycles race in stadium dirt tracks filled with steep jumps and obstacles. My patient suffered a bad shoulder injury that required surgery. He was treated in a variety of ways to speed the healing process, including sleeping grounded. In 3 weeks, he was able to compete in a national event and win the competition. He made an amazingly rapid recovery. Among the different athletes I help, the common feedback I hear about earthing goes something like this. I am sleeping so much better and have less pain. I get up the next day and I feel so much more recovered. I can't believe the workouts that I'm doing. I should be more tired. My results and improvement are increasing with more frequency. They're staying at a high level. It takes less effort to get and stay where I am. Athletes say frequently they are able to push through the day better. They don't have that mid-afternoon energy drop. They get up in the morning with much more clarity, ready to seize the opportunity of the day. They seem to need less sleep. They have better quality of sleep. They may have been used to having 8 hours of sleep before. Now they need maybe an hour or so less. But they can still perform at the same level. Matter of fact, they even feel better. Professional football players live with one degree or another of pain from all the hard physical contact in their sport. They tell me they just don't have the normal pain that they think they should based on what they do. These are things that I constantly hear. Probably the greatest value that I've found with earthing is that it provides a rock-solid biological platform, a basis for all the other treatments and care that I use. It makes everything else work so much better. Everybody wants a treatment for a specific problem. Earthing, though, is like a universal antidote. It seems to reset the physiological playing field, allowing the body to be its own best healer and do the job it's designed to do, repair and regenerate itself, and create energy to sustain a long and productive life. I think of earthing as the primer for a canvas on which I paint all the strategies for getting my clients to the top and keeping them there. In art, if you don't properly prime the canvas, the paint won't stick. It's now been 7 years that I've been earthing personally and in my work. During that time, there have been only a handful of days that I've not been grounded. On those occasions, I could definitely tell the difference in terms of how I felt and recovered from exercise. I do a lot of traveling, both domestically and internationally, and one of the personal benefits that I've found is the dramatic reduction in jet lag. I get up the next day and function fully in the time zone I'm at and not where I came from. Earthing is amazingly simple. It's as easy as going barefoot on the beach or in your yard. Or if you have an earthing device, all you do is plug it in. You lie down, you go to sleep, you do what you normally do. No refills, no prescriptions, no calibrations, settings, timers, no nothing. Chapter 14. The Auto Connection. Earthing on the Move. A truck stop is an unlikely setting for a scientific experiment. But one busy truck stop just north of Los Angeles along Interstate 5 was just that for a few days in February 2000. Truckers who stopped there were approached by an enthusiastic trio of Clint Ober and two old friends, Corky and Kathleen Downing. The three of them were busy enrolling long-haul drivers into a simple experiment. All the drivers had to do was agree to sit on a 10-by-14-inch conductive seatpad connected by a wire to the metal frame under their seat. Installation would take less than 5 minutes. When they got to their next distant destination, the drivers were asked to write down if they felt any difference while driving with the seat pad, such as any change in tension, pain, or fatigue levels, and then mail in their comments with a provided self-addressed stamped envelope. Any driver doing that would receive a check for $25, and 27 of them, with an average age of 48, did just that. They were all from different parts of the country and didn't know each other. As Corky explains, "We wanted to test the concept of grounding drivers to the metal frame of their seat, which in turn is connected to the huge metal chassis of the truck. We believe that vehicular grounding in this manner would help ease the strain and tension involved in long-distance driving. My wife was the first person to try the seat pad in her car. She didn't like driving at night. It made her nervous and raised her blood pressure. When she drove sitting on the pad, her blood pressure actually went down. She still uses it to this day. If you go into any truck stop and examine the counter near the register, you will see a lot of over-the-counter pain pills and no-dose remedies. The truckers live on that stuff. They need them to keep awake and ease their driving aches." Clint, Corky and Kathleen explained their plan to one of the managers on duty at the busy truck stop north of Los Angeles. She asked to try it first. She lived about 3/4 of an hour from the business and said that she had had back pain aggravated by the back-and-forth drive each day. She would have to take pain pills when she arrived at home or at work. After test driving the seat pad, she said she was convinced. There was no or little pain, and no need for the pills. She gave them a green flag to approach the truckers stopping at the station. Their feedback was across the board positive. Nearly all of the 27 participants reported more relaxation and reduction in pain and stiffness. Around 70% said they experienced less fatigue and more alertness while driving. More than 60% said their night vision was improved. Here are some of their individual comments. "More alert, less pain and stiffness. My whole body feels more relaxed. Reduction of fatigue. I have noticed I have fewer aches and pains. Stress in shoulders and back is gone. A great stress and road rage reliever. Helped my headaches to go away. Reduce leg and back pain." As news of the benefits of the seat pad spread throughout the trucking industry, an article in a 2000 publication of the Association of Professional Truck Drivers of America informed its readers that the seat pad addressed the nervous system consequences of extraneous electrical charge on the body resulting from road vibration and the related motion of the driver's body on the vehicle seat. Overdrive, a leading publication serving commercial truck owner operators and company drivers, humorously explained the concept in this way: "Lower your stress with honorable discharge." Over the years, drivers using a conductive seat pad in their vehicles have consistently commented about less tension and fatigue when driving. Chapter 15. The Animal Connection. Earthing and Indoor Pets. Clint Ober recalls an incident from his youth and growing up on a farm in Montana that left a vivid image in his memory. "One day, while tending to some cattle with my dad, we came upon a calf lying on the ground with a portion of its intestines hanging out of a large gash in its stomach. The mother cow was standing nearby as if protecting the calf. We were not sure what had happened. Maybe dogs or wolves attacked it, or it had gotten tangled up in some barbed wire. My dad took a needle and some coarse thread out of a saddlebag and went over and rolled the calf onto its side. He told me to sit on the calf to hold it still. My dad then pushed the exposed intestines back into the calf's belly and then proceeded to sew her up. No antiseptics, no antibiotics. Upon completion, my dad said she would either live or die, and there was nothing more we could do. We were several miles away from the barn. The weather was very cold and it was snowing. There was no way we could have taken the calf back to the barn. I didn't think much more about this incident until a week or so later, when I saw the same calf running around with the other calves like nothing had happened. Thereafter, I often wondered why outdoor animals seem to heal up naturally and quickly from wounds, as compared to humans, or even indoor pets, who seem to take much longer to heal and to need excessive treatments and care. So many times I noticed sick animals lying in a dark corner on the earth, and then coming around seemingly healthy again. Whenever I asked veterinarians, who treated both outdoor and indoor animals, about this, they would just shrug and say the outdoor animals are out in nature, and that gives them something that indoor animals don't have. That something obviously includes more sunlight, but as I have learned, also the natural healing energy of the earth. They are connected. Grounded dogs. Jill Queen of Mount Pleasant, North Carolina, has an affinity for rescued standard poodles, and two of her older dogs were part of the study. Both animals passed away in 2009, but Queen said that grounding greatly improved their quality of life and probably also extended their lives. Mikey died at 14. He had been grounded for nearly 2 years. Marilyn died at 12. She had been grounded for a year and a half. Most standard poodles tend not to live longer than 10 years, so I feel that grounding contributed to a longer life, said Queen. Mikey's joints were badly affected with degenerative arthritis. He was restless at night. Within 1 week of grounding, he was showing less signs of stiffness and sleeping better. Improvements continued throughout the trial. At 5 weeks, he was eager to go for a walk and had more mobility. He was doing much better than what his x-rays indicated he could do, Queen said. Marilyn had a history of arthritis, gastrointestinal problems, lower back problems, pancreatitis and renal failure. She tended to slip and fall frequently, her paws seeming to come out from under her. She slept restlessly and had poor energy. Within 2 weeks of earthing, her energy level was up. She was more playful and slept better. Her appetite improved. At week three, she was doing more running, less falling, and appeared much steadier on her feet. After 5 weeks, she was dramatically healthier, calmer, and much more energetic. One of Queen's observations is that her animals would always seek out the grounded pad to sleep on, despite the availability of other and even more comfortable doggy beds she had in her house. Wherever she placed the pad, the dogs would look for it. They must sense something, she said. After Mikey and Marilyn died, she obtained another standard poodle. As soon as the dog entered her home, he went straight for the pad and passed up the other beds. It was amazing to me. In a report she wrote for the Whole Dog Journal, Puotinen observed, since time began, animals have lived in direct contact with the earth. Their feet were always on the ground. They always breathed open air, and the sun and moon illuminated their days and nights. Even after their human companions moved into houses, most dogs lived outdoors. Now people and their pets are indoor creatures. Sure, dogs go for walks and enjoy other outdoor activities. But like most of us, our dogs often spend more than 20 hours a day inside. If your dog spends most of the day and all of the night indoors, do what you can to increase his time outside. Resting or playing in a fenced yard is perfect, as are long walks, hikes, and swims. But nothing, she says, makes it as easy to provide the earth's free electrons to indoor pets as an earthing pad. In addition to receiving reports from dog owners about how their companions' arthritis symptoms and other physical problems improve, I have heard from several people whose dogs and cats take turns sleeping on the grounded pad. When my Labrador retriever received her bed pad, it wasn't long before Pumpkin, my husband's red tabby cat, was taking naps on it. Neither of these animals have any health problems, so I haven't noticed a difference in symptoms or behavior, but I think it's interesting that they are both so drawn to the mat. Chapter 16. The Future Connection. The Earthing Revolution Ahead. This book is a statement about nature and health. Health is natural, and part of being naturally healthy and functioning optimally appears to involve connectedness to the earth. Being disconnected seems both unnatural and unhealthy. The disconnect creates unnecessary suffering in the forms of sickness, inflammation, pain, and poor sleep. The consequences of an electron deficiency. Connecting to the earth remedies that deficiency and its consequences. We think this book offers a relevant piece of the answer to T.H. Huxley's prodigious question about determining our place in nature and our relationship to the cosmos. We live on our planet, but we have insulated ourselves from it, and at great cost. As a society, we are hurting and unhealthy, and we have been that way for quite a while. The health statistics indicate that we are no longer the hardy, red-blooded folks we used to be. We stress our bodies to the breaking point. We eat the wrong foods and don't exercise. Back 50 years ago or so, with the emergence of medical insurance plans, people expected they'd be taken care of when they got old, and there would be a pill for every illness. Today, there is a pill for practically every illness, but the pills don't particularly cure anything or make us healthier. The late John Knowles, MD, head of the Massachusetts General Hospital and the Rockefeller Foundation during the 60s and 70s, put it this way years ago. People have been led to believe that national health insurance, more doctors, and greater use of high-cost hospital-based technologies will improve health. Unfortunately, none of them will. At the time, politicians and doctors had become increasingly concerned about the rising costs of healthcare. Sound familiar? Such costs were eating up about 8% of the domestic national product back then. Today, the percentage has more than doubled and is supposed to reach 20% in a few years. Politicians and doctors are still concerned, but concern hasn't helped much. And the future? Ouch. It hurts to look ahead. Healthcare change from the ground up. Nearly 80 million American baby boomers will soon turn 65, and as they do, there will obviously be more people with chronic diseases and higher medical care costs, draining an already strained medical system. Without any significant changes, the surge may break the Medicare coffers, and predictions for that have already surfaced. The Council of State Governments, a leading multi-branch organization forecasting policy trends, said in a 2006 alert on chronic disease that along with more forecasted disease among the older population, there is also the issue of more children entering their teen years, college and adulthood with diabetes, high blood pressure, and other effects of being overweight, physical inactivity, and unhealthful eating. Some experts estimate that the generation growing up today will be the first to live a shorter life than their parents and grandparents. This will have a tremendous effect on public resources and the ability of public agencies to provide healthcare and social services, while draining a critical US resource, the workforce. The status quo isn't working. The situation threatens the health of individuals, the family, and nations everywhere. Declining health is hardly an American monopoly. The health of all humanity is in crisis. The many ailments besetting the United States are symptomatic of a planetary catastrophe in the making before our eyes and headlined in the news every single day. Healthcare, as it operates today, is impotent, exorbitant, and ineffective. Chronic disorders are out of control, and the solution is really not in the hands of government or insurers. It is in our hands. Our health, or lack of it, is by and large the result of how we live. Self-care is the only effective way to ensure good health and a longer, fuller life, wrote Joseph D. Beasley, MD, and Jerry J. Swift, MA, in an epic 1989 Ford Foundation book, The Kellogg Report, The Impact of Nutrition, Environment and Lifestyle on the Health of Americans, published by Bard College. While there is a crying need for reforms of the healthcare system, the most needed reform of all is our own attitudes. We patients must become activists for our own health. These and many other similar admonitions have largely remained beyond the hearing range of most people who persist in overeating unnatural food and avoiding physical activity. So we just become sicker and sicker. Instead of focusing on health insurance, we need to emphasize health assurance. We reach that greater level of protection by removing the major sources of stress and toxicity in our lives. In this book, we propose one surprisingly and utterly simple means of helping to reach that goal. Earthing's paradigm-changing health and economic potential. Earthing represents a discovery of the first magnitude, as potentially significant and globally sweeping as electricity, telephones, radio, television, and computers. Consider the changes that new technologies like these brought to society in their time. We are still riding the waves of innovation they generated in terms of jobs and economies. Earthing, like these concepts, is disruptive in that it changes how people live. It is something evolutionary and at the same time revolutionary. We believe that earthing can change the way medicine itself is practiced, adding major effectiveness in healing while lowering the cost of treatments for many diseases. Keep in mind that the physiology of the grounded person appears to be different in a more effective and healthier way than that of an ungrounded person. As more research rolls out, we envision earthing units being installed in spas and the clinics of health practitioners. We envision patients being grounded in hospitals and nursing homes. Looking ahead, we believe that earthing can generate a broad societal and economic overhaul. Economies are based on businesses that create profits, jobs, and wealth. We think that earthing offers a huge bonanza for businesses the world over. Earthing has the potential to benefit and change the world in many ways. It is equally available to the richest and the poorest, to both the industrialized and the developing world. Earthing will affect all society, starting with the shoe industry. The simple insertion of a few cents of conductive carbon or some other similar material in the soles of shoes can bring people into contact again with the earth's healing energy. The shoe manufacturing industry hasn't acted in bad faith, but its innovations have contributed to the rise of chronic illness. Here is a golden opportunity for the shoe industry to redeem and reinvent itself in the name of health and expanded sales. What a glorious prospect! Every year, a person buys at least one new pair of shoes. For a small investment on the part of the industry, so much good can be done in the marketplace. As a consumer, start asking about grounded shoes the next time you make a purchase. Create the demand. Earthing has the potential to thoroughly revolutionize the bedding and mattress industry. Every 8 years on average, people replace their mattresses in the United States. About 30 million are sold each year, and there is a mattress store for every 20,000 homes in America. Here is an industry that sells comfort in all forms: water, air, springs, foam, latex. But just by adding a few dollars worth of conductive material to the mattress and connecting it to the earth, it can improve the health of a society full of insomniacs while it sleeps. The new mattress bottom line will be more comfort, better sleep, less pain, better health. Imagine the rush to buy grounded mattresses. Hotels have been spending billions on 21st century upgrades. Imagine the appeal of hotels offering weary travelers grounded mattresses to promote sleep and elimination of jet lag. The shoe and mattress industry have blockbuster products to sell, and while they're at it, become a part of the healthcare industry. These are the best place to start the earthing revolution. Is there any simpler kind of health reform than that? There are innumerable business opportunities to bring the earth's healing electrons up into our lives, so that everyone lives grounded most of each and every day. Homes, offices, and schools need to be grounded. That includes floors, carpets, and furniture. Even cars can get a modified dose of grounding with a simple seat pad. All these basic parts of society's infrastructure can be inexpensively outfitted with conductive material, creating a whole earthing industry to ground new and existing houses. Think of how all this will impact the way we design our living and working environments. Can you imagine what effect all this will have on the health statistics we cited above, and on the economy of the world in terms of new jobs, careers, research, products, education, services, and even tax revenue for cash-strapped governments? For corporations, just think of what this will do to their own health insurance premiums and cost of doing business. Instead of a malignant cycle of bad health, we can create a benign cycle of good health that embraces and benefits both employers and employees alike. Earthing is the future. Humanity needs to reconnect to the planet, to our natural electrical state, and to our natural state of good health. It's so simple to do. Our book is a bugle call. Wake up, people. Go out. Ground yourself. Reintroduce your bare feet to the ground. Sleep grounded, and if you can, work grounded, play grounded, and watch TV grounded. If you haven't done it by now, Go sit or stand barefoot outside for half an hour or so. If you have pain, see what difference it makes. Then ask yourself if reconnecting with the earth might be the most amazing health discovery you have ever made. We think that reconnecting with the earth is amazing and may in fact be the most important health discovery ever.